Book of Galatians tonight, Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Right before we receive members, I want to share something from God's Word. And then after that, I have some instruction for all of us tonight. And before you leave, and we're just going to have a finish tonight with a great time of fellowship and knowing the love of God. Amen. Amongst the body. It's good to be in God's house, isn't it? I mean, you can almost watch the change come in people's life as they experience the presence of God. You just see relief coming and help and strength and encouragement. Amen. I appreciate that. Galatians chapter 6, would you stand for the reading of God's Word? This is written in first person plural. In other words, if we were to read this together, the pronouns would fit. Okay? So I want to ask you tonight, if out loud you will read this verse with me. Could we do that? And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's read that together again. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. I want to preach tonight. If you'll notice the expression there, let us not be weary in well-doing. I want to preach tonight on doing well in well-doing. Doing well in well-doing. Father, thank you for your people. Lord, may we sense the Holy Spirit here just encouraging us as the people of God. Let us feel, oh Lord, your voice talking to us as your people. Thank you, Lord, for that in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. One of the reasons I had us read this verse together is because so often when you hear this verse read, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, we hear it read in an attempt to encourage ministers. People in the ministry, pastors, evangelists, missionaries, Sunday school teachers, those that have a ministry, we hear this read to them to try to encourage them. Now, don't give up. Keep at your ministry. Keep working, because one of these days you're going to reap. But I want to emphasize tonight that I don't believe this verse is just for those involved in full-time ministry or even in part-time ministry. I think this verse is for all of the saved. All of the redeemed. When Paul says let us, he wasn't talking just about the apostles. He was saying whatever your position, whatever your ministry, whatever your age, whatever your gender, whatever your amounts of years of serving God, don't give up on this thing. Don't grow weary, because you are going to reap. Hallelujah. I want us to be encouraged tonight. Well-doing is going to pay off. It certainly is. I remember years ago at the large meeting at Neosho, I heard Brother Terry Johnson say something that struck my heart as a young preacher. He got up one night and he says, you know, it seems like every time a preacher gets up, that preacher's telling the people what they're doing wrong. He said every once in a while the preacher needs to get up and tell the people what they're doing right. I'm here tonight to talk to us about what you're doing right. Hallelujah. And don't be weary in that well-doing. Amen. You're doing well. You're to be commended. I thank God for you. And in doing well, amen, there is going to be a reaping. Can you say amen? You know, the reason Paul wrote this verse is because people do get weary. Let's just be real frank. People get weary serving God. People get weary doing the right thing. People get weary following the Bible. Folks do get on the verge of fainting and losing heart and losing passion and losing commitment. If we were honest tonight, if I ask you how many recently have felt like giving up, there'd be hands all over the building. Because we get to that place. That's why it's in the Bible. Don't be weary in well-doing. Amen. Paul knew that we do get weary. We get to the place we don't think that we can go on. But you see, the point is, if we're not reaping, it's not that we're not going to reap. We just haven't reached that season of reaping yet. How many believes that though we may be weary, there is a season of reaping to come? Oh, hallelujah. Let us not be weary, for we shall reap in due season if we faint not. Now, faint doesn't mean just to swoon, to get dizzy. Faint literally means to lose heart, to relax and let up. I think someone already mentioned that tonight. Sometimes you just feel like, I'm just not going to sing as much. Why make the trip to the altar tonight? You know, I mean, after all, I'm tired and it's a Wednesday night. And we just begin to relax in this thing. But Paul said that's the worst thing we can do. Don't faint. Don't relax. Don't give in. Don't give out. Amen. Keep on doing well doing because you're going to reap. I'm here to tell us what we're doing right tonight. And I want this to be an unqualified commendation of what the people of God at Union Road are doing. I don't want there to be any qualifications. I don't want to be like that time that, often when I get through preaching, I walk over here and I go through the door. I felt someone follow me one day when I went through the door, and it was a new convert, been here for several months. He stopped me in the hall. He said, "I followed you back here, Pastor." He said, "because I just wanted to tell you, I don't care what other people say. I like your singing." That was a qualified compliment. Bless his heart. I want to tell you, first of all, tonight, you're doing well in the well-doing of faithfulness. You're doing well in the well-doing of faithfulness. I want you to know we got some faithful folk here at Union Row. I'm talking about faithful. I've watched the folks here faithful every time the doors are open. Faithful to prayer meeting. I saw parents faithful to get home on a Wednesday night, barely have time to eat supper, faithful to bring their young people to be here for choir practice at 6:45. I've watched choir members year after year faithful to be here, give up a part of their Sunday afternoon to be here for choir practice. I'm telling you, we got some faithful folks. Amen. We've got some Sunday school teachers that have taught for 100 years. I mean, we got faithful Sunday school teachers. Board members that have been faithful, van drivers, choir directors, amen, Wednesday night workers. We could go on and on and on. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And I want you to know you folks have been found faithful. I believe one of ours that went to his reward 2-3 years ago kind of just captured the faithfulness of folks here. That was Brother Combs. I mean, he was faithful. He was faithful. I'm telling you, you're doing well in the well-doing of faithfulness. I would have you know tonight that nothing is as encouraging to the pastor and nothing is as encouraging to the church as a whole than for folks to be faithful. You know they're going to be there. They're dependable. They're going to be in their place. I know as a pastor, every service, I look for everybody. And my heart sometimes goes, whew, when someone's not here. But I want you to know there are folks that are going to be here. Faithful. Hallelujah. You make a difference by being in a service. You do. Secondly, I want to say tonight, you're doing well in the well-doing of giving. In the well-doing of giving. Nobody gives like God's people. That's right. That's right. You know, we got a lot of hypocrites in government. I didn't need to tell you that. But they give up talking about how we need to give more and pay more. And then you see their tax returns and they've given hardly anything. What they're wanting to give is other people's money. But you all give of your money. You give of your money. It is a well done thing to give. We got folks here that faithfully give of their tithe, never failing. Not only do they give their tithe, they give an ever missions offering, ever special need that is presented to the church. They're not like, folks here are not like some folks who'll spend $30 to $50 for a couple eating at a nice restaurant and drop a dollar in a missions offering. We don't have folks like it. We don't have young people who spend $30, $40 for a new Wii game and put a quarter in the offering for the missionary. Amen? And we got folks that are faithful to give every outreach, every ministry, every mission work that this church supports, every project, every youth camp our young people go to, every special meeting is made possible because you as a people are faithful to give. Hallelujah. We're not investing our money in gold around here. We're spending it on the ministry. You're doing well in the well-doing of giving. I want you to know that I want to put it simple. I'm not teaching on tithing and everything. I'm commending you. But I want you to know that every dollar you give in the offering is converted into treasure in heaven. I believe that. Every time you give of your tithe, whatever you gave has been converted to eternal treasures in heaven. Praise God. How many believes that God is faithful too? You know, let's think about money. I'll do this real briefly. Let's think about money. You get money in exchange for something of your life. If you get paid for an hour, you get paid for an hour because you've given that hour of your life. Or you get paid for because of your skill or your education. Or you get paid because of your ability. But when you get money, you get it because you've given of yourself. So that money represents what you have given of yourself. So every time you give in an offering, every time you pay your tithe, you are giving of yourself to God. Amen? And in giving that, we are also recognizing that if I have skill, if I have ability, if I have time, it's because God has given it to me to begin with. So in fact, when I give of my money, I'm giving of myself, but I'm also saying I have something to give because God first gave to me. Faithful givers, the well-doing of giving. Amen. You know, we don't give because we believe necessarily there's a commandment in the New Testament. The principles there, the commandments in the Old Testament. We don't give because we're trying to manipulate God. We give as a form of worship, as a form of our praise and thanksgiving to God. Hallelujah. I believe God's pleased with that. A few weeks back, you know, we give Andrew a little allowance for doing things around the house, for chores, special chores and things like that. And I noticed he went and got one of the tithing envelopes. And I don't know who did it, but someone ordered about 10,000 tithing envelopes. We got them piled up. So, you know, don't be afraid to take a handful. I mean, we got faith. We're fixing to grow by that, you know. But he went and got a tithing envelope, and he put his tithes in there. You know, and I was really pleased as a parent, you know, not because I thought, my salary just went up because Andrew paid his tithes. It wasn't that. It's because I thought he's getting this about giving to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe the principle is there. In Malachi it says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings? You're cursed with the curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. This is what he says. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. I want to tell you now, you've been doing well, and it hasn't been unnoticed by God, and God will open the windows of heaven. You that have been faithful, paying your tithes, giving in these offerings year after year, God is faithful. He's going to open the windows of heaven and he's going to bless you. And I don't mean this to be a negative qualification, but a positive one. Keep in mind, we gave money, but all the return blessing isn't in money. It's in better things than money. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, there is a blessing that's coming from God from those that have been faithful to give. I believe that, don't you? Think about the orphans that's been helped from this church, the mission works that have went forth, the outreach that's taken place, those that have been saved. Moving on, I want to tell you tonight, you're doing well in the well-doing of support. I'm not talking about money now. I'm talking about what you might call moral support. Well, I heard someone tell me tonight in talking with them. They said, I want you to know I back this church. Amen. I'm behind you. I'm talking about you do well in the well-doing of support. And whether we're talking about the church in general or an outreach that we might have or a revival service or Sidewalk Sunday School or Camp Dove, amen, you are behind it. Amen. You support it. Amen. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the support of people, the backing of people. You know, the best way folks show their support is by attendance. Did you know every time you attend a ministry or event of the church, you vote for that thing? You vote by your attendance. You vote for having a Wednesday night service by attending a Wednesday night service. And I appreciate the support of God's people. You know, support is found in different ways. Yes, it's by being involved, but sometimes it's not just being involved. The support is being behind those that are involved. You may cook in the kitchen at Camp Dove, and we're grateful for that support. But some folks that can't cook in the kitchen, amen, they hand Brother Magger $50 and say, here, I want to sponsor one of the children that wouldn't be able to come otherwise. Amen. The support of God's people doing well in the well-doing of support. Amen. Just the involvement, the participation. Hallelujah. Amen. I teach classes sometimes. A while back, I was teaching some Bible school classes, and I noted the difference. I'd had one class, and I mean the students actually looked at me while I was teaching. And they nodded their head, and they smiled, and they raised their hand for questions. And I'm telling you, that just fueled me to teach. I mean, the interest. And then I had another class where it was, I mean, they'd act like I was a radio, that I wasn't even in the room. It was a radio going on. And I felt my enthusiasm for teaching that class just sucked right out of me. I'm telling you, the support of God's people is so important. Amen. You support by serving. You support by speaking well of the people of the church, your brothers and sisters and the leadership. You support even by saying amen. Oh, I feel supported. Doing well in the well-doing of support. I want to tell you tonight, you're doing well in the well-doing of holy living. Holy living. I'm telling you, we have folks of this church, they refuse to let the world conform them to its image. We're the church. Isn't that how we began singing tonight? We're the church. We're God's people. We have young people. I'm talking to you, young people. We have young people that go to public schools, and you stand out because you're committed to holy living. I commend you for that. I know it's not easy. I went to school with long hair and a guy was in. They called me the 50s kid. Some people still call me that. But anyway, I know what it was to face the ridicule because of what you believe. But we have folks that are committed to holy living. We have women who look different in their workplaces. Men who refuse to get involved with the coarseness and the filth of the men that they work with. We have those that would switch a channel, walk out of the room, refuse to watch something. I just want to commend you. I believe you're people that are dedicated to living holy and living God's word and following His Holy Spirit, and you're doing well in the well-doing of holy living. Amen. There are folks here, your hearts are right with God. You don't have to be coerced. You don't have to be policed. You don't see how close you can get and still claim to be saved, how close you can get to the world and still be saved. Amen. You've got something in you that says, I want to please the Lord, and you want your life and your living to be holy, and you're to be committed. That is well doing because He's called us to it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then I want to commend you tonight. You're doing well in the well doing of praying. I was a little late because of another engagement, and I walked in a little late into the prayer room, and it was filled tonight with folks seeking God. Oh, that stirred my heart. Amen. I mean, something's going to come out of that. There's some lost loved ones that's going to get saved. Amen. Amen. I want to commend. You're doing well in the well-doing of praying. Amen. I know you don't just pray at church. I know you pray at home too. I know when folks have prayer requests, you remember those prayers. I know when the email prayer bulletin goes out, someone's in the hospital. I know the people of this church pray. Hallelujah. We're going to reap from that prayer. I said, let us not be weary and well. I'm talking about doing well and well doing, but let us not be weary and well doing, because there's going to be a reaping from that. Keep on praying. God is going to answer prayer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't this better than having an aerobics class? Hallelujah. Replace the prayer room with an aerobics class. Sometimes praying is a little harder work, but it reaps a whole lot more. Amen. Doing well in the well-doing of praying. And then doing well. I want to commend you tonight as the people of God. Doing well in the well-doing of following the leader. That can be a dangerous thing today to follow, folks. I want to tell you it over and over again. Don't get Hearst religion. Amen. Don't just take what I say by itself. Check it out from the book. But I would like to say and humbly say, if what I've told you is from the book, then the best thing that can happen is you say, I'm going to follow that. I may not like it, I may not personally agree, but I want to follow that. And we have folks that follow the leader. Every young person understands that from the game, what that means to follow the leader. But you follow the teaching of your Sunday school teacher. You follow the youth pastor and his admonitions and exhortations. You follow the pastor because you realize we're just trying to help folks get to heaven, and we're trying to make it to heaven, and you're following because you want to make it to heaven, and you realize that God has given those in leadership a responsibility to be of a help and assistance and an encouragement to you to make it to heaven. I appreciate folks that just follow the, you know, I've often marveled how quickly people will follow the evil and how hard it is for some of them to follow the right. But I appreciate what I sense. I mean, look at this group of young people. I believe they're following the leader. Amen. You say, well, I can do this thing on my own. Well, I'm not so sure about that. Look at the scriptures here. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you, which have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their lifestyle, their conversation. Later, 10 verses later, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. In other words, to begrudge the leaders or to go against them or to not follow them will be not just a grief to them, but it will be unprofitable for you. Amen. And so I want to commend you tonight for following the leaders that God has given to help us get to heaven. I know my temperament as a man. I know my nature as a man. I am not a driver. I don't try to force people. I don't try to coerce people. I don't try to police people. Amen. I don't believe in that. But what I do believe in is taking the word of God and saying and explaining and saying, this is the will of God. This is the word of God. And I believe in pointing the way. And I'm so grateful that there's folks, they don't need somebody just to coerce them all the time and try to push them and push them. But they look at the word of God that's being preached, and I point the way, and they say, yes, it's in the book. He's pointing the way. I'm going to follow that. I'm going to do that. Some folks won't do that, but I want to commend you tonight for following the leader. It's not about ego. It's not about even structure or authority. It's about the fact that God has given leaders to help us get to heaven. It's about watching over the soul. And thank God when people don't fight ever admonition, fight ever exhortation, fight ever doctrine, they just say, hey, we're trying to get to heaven. I believe I'm going to follow that because it's in God's word. I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow it. Hallelujah. The well-doing of following the leader. Amen. Sometimes I've been amazed at some folks. They just seem to have it in their heart. They're not going to follow anything. I've had special meetings of folks, and I'm talking about the exception now because I'm commending the rule. But I have meetings of certain folks and said, for the well-being of the church, for the well-being of the testimony, this is the direction that we want to take. And those people leave that meeting and go directly against what was just shared. I mean, that has been bum-fuzzling to me. I mean, do they think it's about the pastor's ego? Do they think it's about some kind of club rule? No, it's about the Word of God and making it to heaven. And thank God when there's people that realize this isn't a buffet type of thing where we pick and choose what we want and kind of customize our faith to fit our own desires. But this is about getting to heaven and saying to God, what is it that you want me to do? And then if there is a leader that's able to say, this is the will and the word of God, to have a heart that says, I'll follow that, I'll do that, I'll go that way. Amen. And then there's doing well. You as a church are doing well in the well-doing of keeping the main thing, the main thing. I talked to a pastor or a friend this week in the ministry, and he has a family member that's a pastor, and he was sharing how this family member just called and was really upset. And he just lost two families. And finally, he got him to agree to meet with him. And he said, what is it? I'm willing to try to make things right. I mean, why did you leave the church? What's going on here? And at first, they wouldn't tell. And then finally, one of them spoke up and told him what it was. What it was, one of the sisters, the two families were related. One of the sisters had been doing the bulletin, and the pastor hadn't told the church that he was thankful that she had been doing the bulletin. And so two families. And my friend told me that the family members, friends, he said, just threw up his hands. Is this really what it comes to? You quit the church because I forgot to give recognition that you were doing the bulletin. I appreciate when folks can keep the main thing, the main thing. We got different personalities and preferences. Amen. Amen. I may not like purple carpet. That's why we like to let the ladies pick it out. If I picked it out, it'd been black or gray or brown. But it ain't about what color of carpet we have. It's about folks getting help from God. It's about the presence of the Lord that we felt in this place tonight. Can you say amen? Amen. I just want to commend you for keeping the main thing, the main thing. Every once in a while, I just like to tell the story about the gravy. Can I do that, Sister Brock? Do you mind? Do you mind, Sister Rose? Can I tell the story about the gravy? You don't remember right off, do you? One time we had some senior saints. This is years ago. And they quit coming to the senior saints breakfast. And so I went to see him. And I sat down. I said, I know you haven't been coming to the senior saints breakfast with... I was a new pastor. I didn't know what I was getting into. I said, I noticed you hadn't been coming to the senior saints breakfast. Could you tell me why? Oh, no, pastor, I can't tell you. Oh, just shaking the head. Oh, man, this is bad. I asked again in our conversation. Oh, no, pastor, I can't tell you that. Just can't tell you. I thought, man, how bad is it? And I was getting ready to leave, and finally the lady spoke up. She said, okay, I'll tell you. And so I scoot up my chair. I wanted to hear this. I wanted to get down. Okay, sister, what is it? You know, real concern, you know. She says, I'll tell you what it is. They changed the gravy. When Sister Brock did the breakfast, she fixed brown gravy. And now it's Sister Rose's fix. She fixed white gravy. How could you? So, every time since then, when folks have got upset about something trivial, Sandra and I look at each other and say, it's the gravy. Keep the main thing the main thing. I mean, how is it going to be before God when you lost out with God because you lost out with the church and God said, Just why did you quit following me? Why did you leave the church? And you look at Christ with eyes like fire and says, because they changed the gravy. Last of all, not that it's limited to this, but I'll limit it for sake of time. I want to commend you. You're doing well in the well-doing of helping people. I want to be frank tonight because I really want to make this point because I appreciate this church so much. Recently, I've watched again as this church has done everything possible to help certain people, make them feel comfortable in the church, go out of the way to help them at special occasions. And I've watched those people right after this church has poured in time and energy and money and support, right after event or whatever, they're just gone. And here you folks, and you know what I've watched you do? I've watched you the next time there's a need, here you are again to give and to care and to help. And I know it has to be discouraging. I know it has to get to you. And I've told Sandra, just notice how, even though the many times I think over the years when they poured out themselves, and many times it's new converts, and you do so much for them, and you try to help them so much, and then all of a sudden, right after you've done the most to help them, the church has tried to help, they're gone. And that is big cause to be discouraged and to be weary and well-doing. But I've watched you the next time a need come along. There you are again to help. There you are to lend a hand. There you are to put in the offering. And I want to thank you for that, church. That's doing well. And don't be weary with that. A lot of folks may not appreciate. They may be gone. But I'm telling you, God's taking account, and there will be a reaping. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Let us not be weary in well-doing, because there's coming a season of reaping. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Payday someday. Hallelujah. I want to close tonight. I don't even know if you'd call this a message. I'm just saying thank you. And it may not mean much hearing it from me, but one day it'll mean a whole lot to hear it from Christ when He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I might not have helped you, not I tried, but wait till He says, you've been doing well in well doing. I like the story. You've heard it before, but the old missionary couple had spent 30 years in Africa. They lost their health. They were going home. They had no pension. They had no job. They had no house. I mean, they were almost destitute back in the time when you traveled by ship. And when they boarded the ship in Africa, Teddy Roosevelt, he was ex-president then, but Teddy Roosevelt had been on a big game hunting trip in Africa, and he happened to be on the same ship. And that whole trip across the Atlantic, people were going out of their way to try to catch a glimpse of Teddy Roosevelt or to see him in the dining room. And that was the buzz of the ship. And that old missionary began to get bitter, and he began to talk to his wife. He said, here we spent 30 years in Africa, and nobody even knows we're on this ship. And here Teddy Roosevelt just went over there to shoot a few animals for a few days. And people just going on and on. I mean, it was eating at him. They got to New York. They got to the dock there, and there was a band waiting in a parade, and the band played, and there was the parade of the mayor there and the officials of the city, and they welcomed Teddy Roosevelt, and speeches were made, and they ushered him off through the parade to the most expensive hotel there in New York, and that ate at the old missionary man, and they had just a little bit of money, just enough to rent a real poor dump of an apartment, and they rented the apartment, and they got in that apartment with their few belongings, and that man said, I just can't believe this is unfair. How could God do this? I mean, just look at this. Look how they greeted Teddy Roosevelt when he got home here to America. And look at all the, and look what we got. Nobody here to greet us. And his wife says, good wives do, she said, honey, I think you need to go pray. Why don't you go try to go in the bedroom and pray for a while? He went in the bedroom and he prayed, and he came back into the living quarters, and his face was different. She said, honey, something's happened, hadn't it? He said, yes. She said, what is it? He said, well, I told God what I told you. Here, no one here to welcome us home to America. Here, no one here, no fanfare, no pension, nothing. He said, I was going on and on and on, and then God spoke to me. And she said, honey, what did God say? He said, God told me, the problem is you're not home yet. You're not home yet. Don't be weary in well-doing. We're not home yet. We're not home yet. Let's praise him across the building, could you? Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you tonight. Lord, we praise you tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you appreciate your brothers and sisters? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. If you're here tonight and you're not a believer, you haven't surrendered your heart to Christ, or maybe you're away from him, whatever we do tonight, come ahead, music. Whatever we do tonight in this service as we receive new members, I want you to know before you leave here, you can surrender your heart and life to Christ, and you can be a part of this glorious church, his body, his bride, before you leave here tonight. Oh, his arms are wide open. How many believes that? Amen. Amen. Not only are we going to receive new members into the church tonight, but our constitution has a statement that folks should receive a membership card. And we've worked on that through the years to try to get you one, because the last one you had was from 1927, somewhere in there. And I'm not going to make any excuses. Just we hit some difficulties, and by the time we got them solved, we'd moved on to another time of the year. And so we've been working on that recently. And tonight after service, we are going to try to provide membership cards for all our members. There'll be a table set up, and there'll be some folks out there to help you. And just go up to the table and get your membership card. Now, I want to ask for your help in some things in a moment. But first of all, let me explain something. That's the way my mind just went. It just got jumbled there. Amen. Amen. We want you to know something. When you're born again, you are a member of the body of Christ, a member of the church. This is just a way of visibly signifying what has happened. It's like water baptism. When you're saved by the blood of Jesus, you're as saved as you can be. We baptize in water to show that salvation has taken place. Amen. But we've had a custom in the church that if you grew up as a child, your parents were members and attendees of the church, and you grew up as a child, and you've now become 18 years of old, if you choose to be a member, you're automatically a member. We have another thing, and that is if you marry someone, I mean, you're of like faith, and you marry a member of the church, like Brother Keith and Sister Darla yesterday, that if that person chooses, they become an immediate member because of that relationship. So we've had that. And then I just want to give this caution tonight. I didn't want to stop. We put this off too long, and so we were trying to merge different databases to get the cards printed. And I hope not. I just know how things happen. But inadvertently, it's going to be the computer's fault. Let's get that straight first, okay? Because of the way them old computers are, that the Antichrist is going to use, because I hope it doesn't happen. But if someone's name was inadvertently not merged with the rest of the database, so it didn't get on the card, please don't get upset. I mean, it was unintentional. We tried to look it over. It's like proofreading your own stuff, you know. And so we'll immediately make sure we get that by the next service. That's number one. Number two, you know, a lot of folks use different names than their official name. So your official name may not be on the membership card. If you'd like your official name on the membership card, tell them to make a note of it, and we'll do it. For instance, Sister Wilson, we all know her as Elaine, but her given name is Sylvia, okay? And so that may be, you may want your official given name on the card. Amen. I knew you'd shout me down when I shared all of that. Look the card over for spelling, and to make sure that the computer didn't misspell any of your names as well. Okay. Praise the Lord. I've been so excited tonight because we got some great folks that have become members tonight. It's a very simple process. Here in a moment, I'm going to ask them to come and just stand across the front and... Don't worry about when you look out here, don't worry about being afraid of the people looking at you. They may be afraid that you're looking at them. So, you know, it's going to be even ground tonight, okay? I'm going to ask you to come and stand, and then no one has to, but if any of you would like to testify, we'd love to have you testify tonight. And then when everyone's had an opportunity that would like to testify, then we're going to ask the present board and their wives to come, and we're going to pray over you, and then we're going to invite folks to come. What we'll do is we'll come down. We're probably going to be stretched all across the front here. So come down this side over here and just shake their hands and just welcome them. And it's just a good right hand of fellowship. It makes for a good time of fellowship, and I appreciate that. Okay, could you come, those that are going to be inducted as members tonight, could you come and join me tonight? Amen. Sister Hurst, where are you at? Could you come ahead?